Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Tonight we're going to be talking about how much the FBI sucks. And by we, I mean in with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
We both, Riley and I, separately came up with articles about how much the FBI sucks, which is pretty funny. If you ask me, because FBI just sucks that bad.
I mean, that's one of my favorite things to talk about, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about how horrible the FBI really is, because, you know, they've raided this place, broke through your windows, and flew drones in your house, and we all know they're terrible.
Yep.
And that wasn't even just the FBI. That was at least, what, like 10 other government alphabet agencies?
Yeah.
The post office, the IRS...
It's kind of weird
ATF.
That the post office would come.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. I
still
haven't figured out what that was about, honestly.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
There was like one person, the postal inspector here from the post office, but still really, really weird. It was like 60-something agents, but it was all directed by the FBI. It was the FBI's project. The others came along to like support and also do investigations or whatever.
All for a man who's still out of prison.
Yep. Because he's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Hasn't caused any danger to come to anyone while out of prison.
I wonder if we could, not to get too off topic, but I wonder if there's a way to figure out how much that cost taxpayers.
Oh, that would be
really
interesting.
For all of those people to come here and just harass peaceful people.
Yeah,
and break
stuff. That would be really interesting to find out because, you know, I would love to see how much taxpayers were forced to pay for such a raid.
I'm really interested in that, too. I have no clue if there's a way, but I don't think it's really that off-topic because we're going to talk tonight about a story about how qualified immunity helps FBI agents do whatever they want, just like other cops.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they are unelected government cops, government cops.
So just like super cops, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the point, is they're just control freaks and super cops, and we don't get to elect them. So, you know, it's all insane.
And then whenever they do something wrong, well, qualified immunity, so, you know, nothing bad happens to them like would happen to a regular citizen. But first, I want to talk about this article from Zero Hedge. It's also about the FBI. It's about the FBI lying, and I doubt anything bad will come to them for lying to the public. It's called Surprise. The FBI lied about white supremacist memo targeting Catholics. New document reveals. Says, thanks to a less redacted internal FBI document released Wednesday by the House Judiciary Committee. Sorry, I don't think that was the beginning. It started above a picture. So when the FBI was busted targeting Catholics in a now retracted leaked document, which said Roman Catholics were, quote, at risk of committing acts of extremist violence, unquote, the agency downplayed it as the work of a rogue field office. Now, thanks to a less redacted internal FBI document released Wednesday by the House Judiciary Committee, we learned that the effort was far more widespread than the agency acknowledged. So basically, in February, I think it was, a letter or a memo, internal memo from the FBI was leaked, and it was saying, oh, watch out for Roman Catholics, because they're more likely to cause extremist violence, I think it said.
Why Catholics, though? Why not evangelical Christians, or why not libertarians, or why not Democrats or progressives? Why is it Catholics?
Yeah, it does feel pretty random. And based on the Catholics that I know personally, I don't, like, they don't really, they aren't any more, like, likely to be violent than any other religion or sect of people.
If anything, I would call them pretty tame.
Yeah, yes. And you know what? A big part of Catholicism, and I'm talking about the people who are hardcore Catholics and they're really living the entire lifestyle, they typically don't vaccinate. They, you know, limit like their children's exposure to hospitals and, you know, pharmaceuticals and stuff like that.
Well, careful, you're making them sound like extremists.
I know. Well, and they typically homeschool, so like that's the thing. Like they might be seen as extremists or, you know, like not the average citizen that, you know, the government wants to exist, right? Like they're not necessarily anti-state, but they're just living their own life, you know, as
right.
as that, they believe, you know, in the eyes of God.
Yeah, or, and that makes them easy targets for people who say, oh, these people are extreme. We need to forcibly make sure that they're complying with all society. We don't want these kind of people in society, and yet we have Amish in society. We have, you know, people who choose not to participate in society in various ways. And yet, are they being harassed by the government?
And I think it can, I don't want to use the word dangerous, but typically people who have a very strong faith or, you know, very religious people, they tend to, you know, like they're going to follow the Bible before they're going to follow the state, right? Like ultimately, right. like people who are very, very heavily religious, heavy believers, they are not, you know, they're going to choose God before they choose the president or the government or the state. So that also would kind of pose a threat to the legitimacy of the state, you know?
Sure. And while I'm not religious myself, and while I don't believe in the Christian version of deity, I do believe in people's right to being sovereign over them, their bodies and be able to say, you know what, I don't want to obey this institution calling itself government over my own sovereign thinking or God in the instance of Christianity or Islam or whatever.
That's something Ernie Hancock has been talking about a lot on his show, which is on the Free Talk Live Network every Monday night. Just basically the idea that people who have a faith, no matter what that faith is, and it doesn't have to be, you know, one of the big three, like Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, or anything like that, but somebody who has a faith in something otherworldly, they're more likely to resist government indoctrination and more likely to not comply with things because they don't answer to God or, you know, they don't answer to the government. A lot of people who are, I'm not saying that this is true of all atheists. Plenty of atheists can be libertarians and anarchists. Don't get me wrong. But I do see what he's talking about, that if you answer to something bigger than any other human, then I can see how you'd be harder to control.
Right. And to me, I just find it interesting that maybe it's just me, but I feel like, and I think I've heard more atheist libertarians here in New Hampshire than religious libertarians.
I think the people I know personally, like a lot of the people that live locally to, like, say, the Keene area are definitely probably more, like, definitely not Christian or any organized religion, at least. But some of the other more, like, family-type homesteading libertarians, I guess I'll describe them, a lot of those people do tend to have some sort of form of Christian faith.
I don't know. I don't know if I would agree, Riley. I think that the majority of the ones I know believe in some kind of a god or, like, higher power, but that's just me. It seems like the only one I can think of off the top of my head that is an atheist is Arya, maybe Chris Wade. I think Arya said she's an atheist.
Captain, he doesn't call himself an atheist. He calls himself something else.
Agnostic?
Yeah.
I think he calls himself a universal humanist.
That's cool. I don't know exactly what that means, but that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a humanist is basically just, you know, extreme individuality. Every human should be in control of themselves. I'm not sure if that's exactly right. Kind of like sovereign. sovereign people.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, Captain isn't on the show. I don't know if he's listening, but Captain Kickass, if you're listening, call in and tell us what you believe. If not, well, you can talk about it on some other show.
I find that a really fun conversation, like just finding out what other people believe, because obviously there isn't really a way to prove this. It's more something that is individual to each person and, you know, a feeling people get within themselves. And I think that's what's so great about it. It's one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, and isn't it nice to be able to have a conversation like that with someone without it getting heated turning into, like, I have to convert you to believe? Because a lot of people, especially a lot of people that who believe in organized religion, that is kind of their end goal when they're having a conversation like this. It's not like, oh, I want to explore what you believe in or, you know.
Yeah, they want to convert you to their way of thinking because they want you to feel like, or they want to feel like they're in the box with you and you get to be in their box with them because their way is the one true way.
Well, you don't have any experience with that, do you, Riley? People who go all over the world and try to convert others to their...
Well, you know, coming from Mormonism has a missionary program where they send, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids out to convert the world to their religion and preach about Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and Jesus Christ coming to America. So, you know, I do have experience with that.
Yep. I just thought it was kind of a funny thing to say.
Yeah.
Yep, it's great to be able to talk to people who just are, have open minds. One thing I think is important, no matter what religion you are or aren't, it doesn't really matter as long as you're not going to the government and asking them to control people who believe something different than you do.
Yeah, that is the most dangerous religion, is statism.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, Larkin Rose did a video on that on YouTube. Statism, the most dangerous religion.
I agree. Every time you go into one of their courthouses, it's pretty apparent that it's a dark church. I could probably talk about this tonight, too. I went to trial on Monday, and I won. I took my parking ticket to trial that I... Well, the parking ticket was placed on a vehicle in January, and I've had, like, two hearings in between then, and it kept getting pushed back. I just had a trial August. That's how slow the wheels of justice turn.
Yeah, they turn really, really slow in America.
But basically, the judge threw it out, and we can talk about it, because I motioned for it to get dismissed, and he agreed with my motion. It was great. But anyways,
Wasn't it just, like, a $15 parking ticket?
Oh, yeah. It was only a
$15. Wouldn't it be better to just knuckle down and pay the $15 and have the state stop harassing you?
Well, see, I don't agree. I think that more people should just take their parking tickets to trial, especially if they have time. I guess I understand if it's like, I'm going to lose $180 an hour if I don't go to work. Like, I don't really... Well, that would be crazy. So, you know, if you're making $180 an hour, you could probably have, like, make your own hours and everything. Anyways, I just think that if people took all their parking tickets to trial and made them make you, like another thing Ernie Hancock says, made the government make you pay the parking ticket, it would clog up the system so fast and waste their resources way more than if everyone just paid the tickets in the first place.
Yeah, and I think people pay the tickets because they see this institution as legitimate, and, well, I committed an infraction against the institution, and I gotta pay the costs, or whatever. And it's like a religion. It's like, oh, well, I sinned against this deity calling itself government, and I gotta pay the price.
It's great because I put in a motion to dismiss before the trial, like a week before, asking them to dismiss the judge. Asking him to dismiss it on the basis that they never put in any evidence that I fell under the jurisdiction of the city of Keene or their laws. And he, at the beginning of my trial, he said, I'm going to defer, I'm going to wait to roll on that, and we're going to continue with the trial. And as the trial went on, I made another motion to dismiss because he never put in any evidence to prove that I drove the car or that I was there or that the meter was actually expired. And he dismissed on that case, so he never had to say, he never had to give an answer about my other motion to dismiss. Because what's he going to say to that? Other than, you're under our rules because we say so.
Yeah, you're under our rules because you're occupying the geographical polygonal land we call the city of Keene.
Yeah. And typically, especially when it comes to stuff like traffic, you know, traffic violations, those are pretty... It's pretty low-hanging fruit to win in court. Of course, a lot of people, you know, fight it, and maybe they don't win. But I've had pretty good success fighting particularly speeding tickets. I apparently have a little bit of a lead foot, or maybe I just don't respect the 55 mile per hour, you know, speed limit where I don't feel like it makes sense and I feel like I can safely drive faster. So I've gotten probably upwards of 10 speeding tickets since I've gotten my license.
Whoa.
I have won every single one of them.
Nice.
I recently got one on my way to a prenatal appointment. And so this was my first one that I've actually gotten in New Hampshire. So we'll see. It was in Hillsboro. So I guess I'll take that one to trial. I mailed in my thing, so just
mailed
waiting.
In
the ticket.
Okay. And
yeah.
You just wrote that you're intending to...
Yeah, there's directions on the back of it. And it's a little bit different than Massachusetts, because in Massachusetts they want you to mail a check as well, a $50 check to fight it. But this one specifically said on the back, do not mail money. So I just checked off that I am pleading innocent or not guilty, whatever. And I mailed it to Concord.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Let us know whenever if you have a trial I'd like to attend.
Absolutely.
And since we basically completely talked about it, I'm working on a video, and it's going to take me a little bit of time, probably like the rest of the week if I work on it every single day, where I'm putting together from the beginning, like when I went in to challenge the parking ticket, to all of the hearings in between, and then to the trial where I won. I'm putting a video of all that together, and I'm going to overlay like a voice of explaining things. Like, mm-hmm. I think one thing I've noticed that I don't really like about a lot of court activism videos is they just kind of show it and they're like, oh my God, isn't that ridiculous what the judge said? But no one really explains anything to somebody who's never been to court. Because a lot of people who go to court, they're just like, oh yeah, this is so clear to me because I'm a court activist and I know all this stuff.
No, and I do think that's important, especially when you're doing like educational-based activism. It is important to realize that everyone might not have the level of understanding that you do, and kind of try to, you know, break it down to the lowest common denominator, so to speak, and, you know, like put it in layman's terms.
Yeah, and it's really nice to see libertarians apply legal theories that they always talk about and get it on camera, because I hear a lot of libertarians talk about these magical legal theories that are get you out of whatever, your parking tickets or paying taxes. And it's just really nice to see people actually apply it and get it on camera.
I'm lucky and relying heavily on the work of past activists in New Hampshire who have gotten the judge to absolutely roll over and allow cameras in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when E&M would first start, a lot of times they get really harassed for trying to bring cameras in. Ian had to bring it all the way to the Supreme Court and get permission so that way the judge can't just tell them you're not allowed to record in here. So yeah, I'm really happy about that because in a lot of states, like Riley said, people will say, oh, I won based on something like sovereign citizen arguments. Not trying to belittle it. I'm just, you know, stream of consciousness talking. But they'll say, I won my tickets because of some sovereign citizen argument, and then when you ask for proof, they will just say, oh, I couldn't record. They wouldn't let me record in Missouri or whatever.
And especially with something like that, it's nice to see, like, what did you say? I want to know what you said verbatim to the judge, because there's so many things that go into like presenting yourself in court, like a lot of body language, and I'm just like breaking it down to like human psychology, and like how the judge is going to perceive you. A lot of that stuff, like how you present yourself, I feel is very important, like to me at least, like dressing nice, like looking like, you know, being respectful, like a lot of those things I think have helped me in the past. And then just kind of, I guess there's two ways to do it. Like, you can either play the game, which is kind of the path that I typically go, just because I don't want to deal with a lot of this stuff. So
right,
I'm just trying to win my ticket and move on with my life. But then there's also, like, the more activism approach, where you know, might make different arguments than someone who's just trying to win their ticket. So it really, I think there's two main ways to do it. And it just depends, like, what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, either way, I still consider it activism because you're not just saying, listen, I just don't want to deal with this at all. I'm just going to pay the ticket. It's easier. I'm afraid to go into court. Like, Ian and I were waiting for, I don't remember what we were in court for because we go to court so often. We just go and, like, record other people's proceedings and stuff like that.
Right.
And there was a woman that went before. I think it was actually for me, but we were waiting for me to get called. So they were doing everyone else in the courtroom before me. So this woman got called up, and she said, I'm just going to take the prosecutor's plea deal. And wow. The judge was like, are you sure that you want to do that? And she was like, listen, he was like, because you're entitled to a trial. And she's like, listen, I don't want a trial. I don't want to come back in here. And he's like, I'm not sure if you've thought this over. And she's like, I don't need to think.
Dude, take it to trial. Let's make them work
but also,
for their money.
She was just afraid. Like that, I mean, just that phrase alone, like, yeah. I don't need to think. That is the first red flag there, and
I
get it.
Yeah, it's really hard.
You know, I don't want to, like, you know, be dramatic and be like, oh, I've had panic attacks going into court. It sucks getting pulled over. You know, I have, you know, extreme anxiety interacting with police. I don't, this isn't my form of activism that I like to do. You know, it is very nerve-wracking to present yourself in front of a court. Like, that can be scary.
I'm sure it is.
I completely get that, but... I mean, the judge, it sounded like he was kind of trying to give her, not really advice, but like, hey, reality check, like, think this through. And she's just like, I refuse to use my brain, and I'm scared, and I'm just going to roll over and die.
That's how badly she didn't want to have to, she said this, she said, I just don't want to have to come back here.
Yeah, and I can understand that fear and that concern, because, you know, court can be long, court can be boring. How are you going to defend yourself?
And if you miss work.
Yeah, and it's just so easy to say, I just want to pay it and plead guilty and just throw myself on the mercy of the court.
Yeah, it's just interesting because my family, I guess probably like my parents and my older sisters, always told me, like, if you get a speeding ticket or anything like that, always fight it. Because what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
You lose.
You lose, and you have to pay the fine anyway.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, like, either way, you're probably going to have to pay the fine. It might be another $25-$50 to take it to court and fight it. But if you have the chance to win and not only not have to pay it, but, you know, screw the state out of money and not have those points on your driver's record, like, I would have gotten my license taken away several times over if I just paid all these tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people get sentenced or whatever to have to go take classes, which take more of their time, things like that.
Yeah, it's not worth it, honestly.
So generally try to not take the plea deal, but I can understand if there are cases, that there are situations when people feel like they need to take the plea deal for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'd say generally you shouldn't just take the plea deal. The one thing I didn't get to do in this case since I won and it got dismissed was I didn't get to tell the judge if I lost... and he tried to make me pay the fine. I was just going to tell him, I'm not going to pay the fine. So I didn't get to do that yet.
So I wonder, like, what happens in that case? Because I've never seen that happen, or it's never happened to me.
Ian's done it. Basically, they just will be like, okay, then you say, I'm willing to go to jail. And they say, okay, never mind, just do some community service or something. But have you had any experience taking things to court for activism? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News update. At least six people are dead as a massive wildfire burns out of control on Hawaii's Maui Island. Lieutenant Governor Sylvia Luke said today hurricane-force winds in the region and drought conditions are fueling the fire.
We never anticipated in this state that a hurricane, which did not make impact on our islands, will cause this type of wildfires.
The fire has devastated the tourist town of Lahaina. House Republicans will formally accuse President Biden of corruption. A memo released from House Oversight Committee members argues it doesn't need to directly show payments from Hunter Biden's dealings to the president to prove corruption. Republicans argue the payments to Hunter Biden's multiple accounts by foreign entities implicate the president. Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie is challenging Donald Trump to show up for the presidential debates. Christie said it would be disrespectful if Trump skipped the debate. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control. If you'd like to call in and get in on the conversation we're having or bring up whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160. That's the number for you to call. 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we've been talking so far about how the FBI sucks and how the government is the worst religion, the most dangerous religion.
It's a cult. It's really a cult. So if you believe in government, you believe in a cult.
And Riley really knows a lot about cults.
Yeah, I do.
And we've also been talking about taking parking tickets and things like that to court as activism. And my video about that will be out on Freecam really soon, like maybe in a week or two. But first, we're talking about an article on Zero Hedge about the FBI lying, which is super surprising to everyone that the FBI would lie.
I'm shocked. I can't even believe that.
I can't either. I thought the FBI was the most honest organization on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they taught me in public school.
Yeah.
They're targeting a really surprising class of people, calling them extremist, violent people. It's the Catholics, and I just find that really weird. So we're going to get into why they were doing that and then lying about it. Basically, in February, I mean, a whistleblower leaked a heavily redacted January report from the FBI's Richmond office. Quote, interests of racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists in radical traditionalist Catholic ideology almost certainly presents new mitigation opportunities, unquote. I guess that was the title of it. The document defined radical traditionalist Catholics as those who attend Latin Mass and, according to the FBI, adhere to anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ, and white supremacist ideology.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. How is this any different from being anti-Semitic themselves? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, anti-Semitic is, you know, referring to Jewish people, but
right.
It really sounds like this is discriminatory against, you know, a group of people.
It does. And, you know, we know what happens when this happens in history. We've seen the Holocaust. We know the results of that. And why are we allowing the biggest, most tyrannical government and their police arm to target another group of people?
I don't think that it should be happening. I think that the government, the FBI should be disbanded. No one ever elected them, and they don't seem to do a very good job. They're definitely not transparent, as this article points out.
Well, they're also a political weapon, so there's that, too.
Yep, without them, how would people be able to go after their political enemies? You're right.
Yeah.
The document defined... Oh, I already put that. Well, what you said, Nikki, how is it any different than anti-Semitics? It's funny because the word Semitic, I've heard, actually has to do with people from, like, the land known as Israel.
Okay.
But people use it all the time to talk about people being against that religion. Like, you can say...
Yeah, it basically, like, means you're a Nazi. Like, that's how people use it.
Yeah.
You can say, listen, I have nothing against, like, people being ethnically Jewish. I just don't agree with the religion. And you'll still get called anti-Semitic. And that's what I don't understand.
And it's interesting because it's like, you can talk badly about any other religion, but the second you say something bad about, Judaism, then it's, you know, then you're racist, you're anti-Semitic, and all this stuff. And, like, don't get me wrong, I don't like to make a habit personally of trash talking other people's beliefs and religion. Like, I think people should be able to believe in whatever they want to believe in.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
And, you know, worship the way that they like to, as long as it's not hurting other people. But it's just definitely a double standard.
Right.
But it's really funny that in this one document, they're defining people who are radical traditionalist Catholics as people who attend Latin Mass. Like, and then in the same article, they're talking about how bad it is to be anti-Semitic. You're right. There is no difference, and it's really a double standard.
It is. It's a double standard. And, you know, the government is great at doing double standards.
So, based on what the Wall Street Journal editorial board called half-baked open-source reporting from liberal news outlets to justify their investigation, that's why they... I don't understand what that was supposed to mean. So, the FBI headquarters quickly said the report didn't meet its exacting standards and has been withdrawn. FBI Director Christopher Wray, who was there at the Waco firebombings, and he stood in front of a pile of corpses with, like, a smile on his face, holding some kind of a trophy. Christopher Wray, the FBI director.
That's a little creepy.
He told the Judiciary Committee in July that the report was a single product by a single field office. He added that, as soon as I found out about it, I was aghast and ordered it withdrawn and removed from FBI systems.
And I wonder if he's just making a PR move right there.
Oh, he definitely is, because apparently he's lying. And it says, and he said he began an internal probe. On July 25th, the FBI finally provided the committee with a less redacted version of that Richmond document. The report says that its information on Catholics was primarily derived from an FBI Richmond contact, an FBI Portland liaison contact who informed on a subject who gravitated to traditionalist Catholicism, and an FBI undercover employee who reported on a subject who attended a Catholic church in California. The FBI's Los Angeles field office, meanwhile, initiated an investigation into one subject, while the Richmond office coordinated with the agency's Portland office to prepare the field report. In other words, it wasn't just the product of a single field office, as Ray had claimed, but was instead a widespread effort among several offices. What's more, the journal calls out the FBI's troubling decision to redact the roles of the Los Angeles and Portland offices from the original version of the Richmond document it provided to Congress in March. The agency defended the earlier redactions due to ongoing criminal investigations, which is a common cop-out, like literally cop-out for cops. They will say, sorry, we can't give any more information or be any more transparent because it's an ongoing criminal investigation.
Yeah, and it just gives them an excuse to not tell us what's really going on.
That's absolutely what it is.
They might appear to fire some people, but they'll either suspend them with pay or, you know, bring them back at some point.
It says, yet as the journal, I think the Wall Street Journal, asks, what changed from March until July, other than a threat of contempt from the Judiciary Committee? It's hard not to conclude that the Bureau was trying to hide the breadth of its Catholics as Radicals investigation. In a Wednesday letter, Jordan asks Ray to amend his July testimony to fully explain the nature and scope of the FBI's assessment of traditional Catholics as potential domestic terrorists. And that's basically it. Basically, the FBI got caught lying, actually, to basically a court. I don't know if they're really considered a court, but they're allowed to. Congress. Is Congress considered a court because they got threatened with, what's the word? I don't see it here. They got threatened with, what's that thing where if you don't like the court system, the judge can put you in jail?
Contempt of court?
Contempt. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, the Judiciary Committee. So I guess that you can go to jail or something for contempt of the Judiciary Committee, and the FBI seems to have lied to the Judiciary Committee.
Huh. I don't think the FBI is going to go to jail, but, you know.
Exactly.
The government people get a pass, even if it appears like they're getting a slap on the wrist, you know.
What do you think would happen to one of us if we were being interviewed in front of the Judiciary Committee for something and we lied to them and then it was proven?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we'd be locked in a cage.
But the reason that that doesn't happen is most likely related to qualified immunity. And we have another article here about the FBI from Reason Magazine, it's Reason.com, talking about how qualified immunity may shield the FBI agents who abuse the no-fly list.
Now, for listeners who don't know, the no-fly list is a list of people that the government, the so-called government, has put together to say who can fly and who can't fly. So if you're on the no-fly list, and there are people who have been purposely or accidentally put on the no-fly list for whatever reason and not allowed to fly without due process, without being able to, you know, face their accuser, and this is an abuse of government power. This is put in, I need to remind people, this is put in during a Republican administration. This is put in for the conservatives listening out there. This is put in under your favorite president, George W. Bush.
It was part of the Patriot Act, correct?
Absolutely. It was part of the so-called Patriot Act. It was a definite abuse of power. I remember in 2004, when I was out of high school, talking about things like this and being really upset that these things are happening. And, you know, it just seems like people ignore the Patriot Act. But, you know, the Patriot Act still exists, and the government still has its power, but no one seems to really care anymore.
I like that you're pointing out that the no-fly list itself is an abuse of power.
Absolutely.
It's an abuse of at least the Fourth Amendment, because the Fourth Amendment is the one you kind of referenced there, where you have the right to not be a part of sweeping searches and seizures, or it's a due process. The Fourth Amendment is about due process. Basically, you can't just...
Unreasonable searches and seizures, yes.
Yep, and just due process in general, like common law, you shouldn't be punished before being found guilty in front of a trial. Like, the people who are on the no-fly list, a lot of them have no... They found out they couldn't fly, and then they're like, wait, why? They have no idea why.
A lot of the times you find out when you're at the airport trying to board the plane.
Yep.
Imagine that you're getting ready to go see your loved ones, your family or your friends or your significant other, and all of a sudden The TSA says, we have you on the snow flight list. You can't fly.
And sometimes, Riley, you touched upon it earlier. Sometimes it's just a seemingly by mistake. My aunt and my cousin got put on the no-fly list, and some of the listeners might be thinking, like, oh, well, they're related to Nikki, so maybe they, were doing something crazy, doing some activism, whatever. No, not at all. Like, not these kind of people. This was, like, probably, like, 10, 15 years ago. The only time they flied was to come, back up here to visit family, and then they'd go back down south to go home. Like, that was the only, they didn't really, fly frequently. And it was just completely random. My aunt and my cousin, and then my other two cousins weren't on the no-fly list.
Huh.
So then they were kind of like, well, we have these plane tickets, and, like, we're supposed to go up to, up north to see our family. Like, what do you expect us to do? I do believe it got resolved, but it's still a huge pain in the butt for people who didn't do anything wrong, and to just put somebody on a no-fly list for, no reason, with no due process. It's just... It's hard to believe that is happening.
Nikki, your story illustrates the point that the American people still are unaware that this is happening in America, and this abuse of power is still happening in America, and yet no one is screaming about it.
Yeah.
No one is storming into the White House, dragging out Biden, and saying, dude, what are you doing in America? What are you doing in your so-called office of power? You're not saving America. You're not giving anybody any more freedom. You're destroying people's liberties. And this has happened under Bush. It's happened under Obama. It's happened under Trump. These people aren't here to save you. They're here to keep the power perpetually going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't even know about stuff like this or don't care about stuff like this until it happens to them or someone close to them.
Right.
I agree, because I was actually going to ask you guys if you've ever met or if you know of anyone in real life who was put on the no-fly list at all, because I never have.
Just my aunt. And they were taken off, and it seemed like, I don't know how it happened, it just seemed like they kind of had a common last name, so I don't know if it was something like that, but, it was resolved, but I don't know anyone personally who, actually cannot fly still to this day.
Yeah, I don't know anyone personally either, but I've heard stories.
Yeah, I wanted to ask because, we're activists in New Hampshire and none of us know any, except you said your cousins, and then it got resolved. It just seems to me like if it's not that common, I bet the average person, one, doesn't know about it, or two, wouldn't care because it doesn't affect them.
Well, I think people know about the no-fly list, but they're like, oh, good, that's just for terrorists.
Right. Yeah.
That's what people think. They're like, oh, well, I don't really care. People don't care because they don't think it can happen to them. Same thing with police brutality. It's like, well, I don't really care that, police are shooting other people because, well, they must have done something. Like, they must have been asking for it. Like, people rationalize.
People must be asking for the crimes committed against them by police. We just need to stop believing Black Lives Matter. No, that's not the case. Black Lives Matter. We need to remember that police violence is happening in America. People are being shot by police every single day.
Yeah, it's disgusting. And it is a little disheartening that people don't seem to care about this stuff until it happens to them.
But Nikki, I'm a law-abiding citizen. I don't have to worry.
Well, and that's the thing. And it's like, well, people think that until, the police break down their door in a no-knock raid. Oh, guess what? But they're not even at the right house. Like, you literally didn't do, they're at the wrong house, and they shoot you in your bed while you're sleeping.
Or they shoot your pets.
This has literally happened to people.
Yeah,
or they come, they shoot your pets, and then after, they're like, oh, wow, that is the wrong house. Like, that's really awkward.
Oh, we're
sorry,
so
guys.
Sorry.
Yeah. Qualified immunity.
Yeah.
They're not going to jail for that.
You can't sue them. You can't do anything to get some help from the government. And it's just so silly that people still hold this agency as something so powerful and so good.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of the people that are targeted by the state and are targeted by police don't always have the means or the resources to kind of fight back. Like, we know a lot of, like, libertarian anarchists type that, like, this is their life. They just do activism and, like, that's what they do. But most people don't really even know where to begin when they are wronged by the state. Like, how do you resolve that? How do you sue the state, how do you sue your city or your town? You know, it's like the police department. Like, people don't know how to even begin to hold these people accountable.
Yep, the average person definitely doesn't. And that's like one thing I love about being in New Hampshire is I wouldn't even know how to take a parking ticket to trial before I met Ian. I've just never had a parking ticket. Well, no, I had a parking ticket once, and I just paid it because I thought that's like my only option. I never even knew you could contest one.
Yeah.
And
when you find out, you can contest your parking ticket, you're going to be like, yeah, let's do this all the time.
Right. And the next thing is maybe somebody does know you're allowed to contest their parking ticket, but where do you go? Do you know where you go if you get one in Keene? I only know because Ian told me that you go to the Central Square. I forget what it's even called, the Town Hall or something like that.
Yeah, probably City Hall.
City Hall.
Yeah.
I guess Keene is a city. But that's the thing. A lot of people don't even know where to begin. And if you don't have, like, a friend group of activists, it's going to be a lot more complicated. Like, try Googling these things. It doesn't easily
hard,
pop up.
And it's interesting. I was telling somebody else this the other day. Like I said, I've probably gotten, like, over 10 speeding tickets in the state of Massachusetts. And when they give you your ticket, they say, okay, they explain to you, this is how you pay it. Or directions on the back, whatever. If you would like to fight this in court, this is what you do.
Yeah.
But when I got pulled over in New Hampshire, I was not given those instructions. They were just like, or he was just like, oh, that's how you pay it. Like, directions to pay it are on the back. He didn't even give me the option to like, oh, you can fight this. He didn't even tell me. But in Massachusetts, every single time I got any sort of ticket, they said, you have the right to fight this. And this is how you do it. So I thought that was kind of interesting that, and maybe it was just the cop, like, wasn't doing the correct thing. Like, maybe that's part of his speech that he's supposed to do or part of his script.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it.
Did you film your encounter with the police?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, let's try and get in the habit because I think it's important.
Yeah. I mean,
I just think it's, you know, for your own protection, I just haven't been pulled over in New Hampshire. I really believe that if you have a bunch of Free Stater bumper stickers on your car, they won't pull you over because they don't want to deal with you.
Yeah,
I know.
They know you're going to bring out your cameras. They know you're going to start asking them questions and be like, you know, do you have reasonable, articulable suspicion that I'm committing a crime? Am I being detained? Am I free to go? You know, questions like that.
And a lot of people don't even know how to do things like that. Like, you brought up police violence, police shooting people. All over the country, people don't even realize that police aren't supposed to be punishing anyone for any reason. A lot of people will say, oh, well, he probably had a reason to get shot. Even if a police officer witnessed somebody murder someone, technically, according to law and due process, they are not allowed to grab the person and kill them. And they're only allowed to kill someone or use force against them to stop them from doing something, or if they have a warrant to arrest them or they have a reason to arrest them, they can grab them, but they can't punish someone. All their job is supposed to be is to take the person, put them in jail, get them in the system so that way they can have their day in court. Even if the cop witnessed the murder or something and obviously couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
It's such a joke because I've worked in the nursing field for a few years now, and in the hospital, we sometimes deal with people who are either intoxicated, confused, whatever, that become very violent. I have been kicked in the head by patients. I have been physically assaulted by patients on a number of occasions. I've had people verbally assault me, like, nurses get put through the ringer.
I imagine they do.
You know, like, a ton of times, whatever. And I have never once hit a patient back. I have never once yelled at them or disrespected them. Like, and most nurses I know, are able to conduct themselves in a professional manner, even when maybe I'm fearful of my safety. I've never once thought, I wish I had a gun so I could shoot this person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, sometimes it's like, okay, maybe get them in restraints or do something to protect yourself and those around you and maybe even the patient themselves. Whatever. But never once, I don't think any, like, doctor or nurse was like, oh, I wish I had a taser or a baton so I could beat this person because they're frustrating me or they're being violent or unruly. Like,
well,
so it's just a completely different mindset.
What if a black man was running away from you? Wouldn't you want to shoot him in the back of the head as a nurse?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I would just let him go.
Yeah.
Like, so it's stuff like that, that it's like, yeah, it's hard to respect them for being like, oh, I was scared and I was just defending myself.
I'm sure you would be scared for your life too.
Yeah. Someone, you're shooting someone that is unarmed. What a joke. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, and then this person's qualified to be a quote-unquote police officer and, you know, protect and serve the community. If you're such a little baby that you're afraid of someone who's either running away from you or is unarmed or whatever the situation is, to the point where you have to use, you know, fatal force and kill them or shoot them or whatever, I mean, that's pretty pathetic. And those kinds of people, I don't think, are qualified to be police officers or any sort of security.
It's been proven that a job, a 100-pound woman who has never owned a gun, I used to have this job. It's been proven that the job of a food delivery person is more dangerous than the job of being a police officer, but they still like to claim, oh, my job is just so dangerous. It's so scary out there. You don't even know what it's like. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's really disgusting, and it's embarrassing for them.
It is.
And I think more people should not respect police officers.
Ultimately,
because I don't think they're worthy of respect.
I think it's just an excuse that they were scared. I think that jobs like this will get the attention of someone who is a psychopath and wants to harm other people or wield power over other people. And that's why so many police officers will end up abusing people because, well, that's why they were drawn to this position in the first place.
Yes, the same thing with politics. I mean, power attracts these kinds of people.
You don't hear about nurses or food delivery people abusing people as often as you hear about police abusing people because, well, they wouldn't have signed up to be a food delivery person or a nurse because they didn't find that, they didn't see that little opportunity, oh, I'll get to hit people. Well, I guess some nurses have been, like, poisoning people, but I don't think that's super common. I don't think it's as common
I think that was, like, a couple psychopaths,
right,
you know, compared to, like, the majority of cops.
Right.
And psychopaths do happen. It's just, you know, they're not as common as the police.
Yep. I think that you can be a secondary psychopath, basically, like, trained by society to be a psychopath. Well, what do you think? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com.
or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.